Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Program 368 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's up?
What's up with you, young lady?
Everything's good.
All right, well, we have 2 hours of classic radio. We'll be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. We have the Abbott and Costello Show. Special guest, Lucille Ball. I thought it would be fun to play a Lucille Ball episode after last night. We had a suspense episode with her. Now she's a guest, along with Mel Blanc, who does some Bugs Bunny impersonation on Abbott and Costello from 1943. Then it's sci-fi at its best with Dimension X from 1951. But first, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yes, and Carl, just to make it a whole Lucille Ball weekend,
what?
She is going to be the celebrity for our Real or Ridiculous segment tonight.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay.
Lucille Ball, and you are going to know all three of
you
these.
You think so?
No, I know that you do.
Okay.
We've talked about things before, and the prize will be a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Fantastic. Call us at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Which caller?
Caller 4.
Call now.
Right now.
All right, we'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, we have Tim on the phone to play a little Real or Ridiculous. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Terrific, glad to hear from you. We're going to play a little Lucille Ball in Real or Ridiculous.
All right,
so
here
it doesn't get better than that. Number one, Lucy insisted that her real husband, Desi Arnaz, be cast as her on-screen husband. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's real.
Yes, real.
That is real. And number two, Lucy's natural hair color was red. Is that real or ridiculous?
I don't know that one.
It's ridiculous.
Huh. Wow. It's ridiculous.
You never thought about that?
No, I don't. But I'm gonna say real.
It's ridiculous.
Oh,
it's actually
right.
I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she colored it. She's
wow.
Not a real redhead, it's brown.
This is for you, Tim. And this is for me.
All right, number three.
Man.
Lucy was the first pregnant actress to play a pregnant woman on TV. Real or ridiculous? Yes, real.
I think it is real, yeah.
You think that's real?
Yeah.
It's real. Tim, you did a great
job. He
knows
his stuff.
I know, this is a good
one. Tim should host this show.
I think so, too. Tim, what are you doing next Saturday
Tim,
night?
Tim.
I'll be there.
Okay. You have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, our favorite pizza here at WGN Radio Theater. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. We hope you have a great pizza on us.
You guys have a great show. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.
Tim. All right, buddy. He's a big winner. Won a Lou Malnati's pizza. He got all three right. I got two out of three.
Yeah, but that's Lucille Ball. I thought you knew that.
I honestly did not know about
really?
The hair color. Yeah, I didn't
well,
know.
Well, see, I taught you something.
Gosh. So she was a what? A brunette?
Brown.
Really?
Just brown.
Didn't know that
yeah.
at all. All right, our text in line, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. We got a lot of texts last night. People were not happy that we were nixed an hour. But we're here for 2 hours tonight. We will be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. We have two great classic radio shows for you, Abbott and Costello, to start things off in just a moment. Then Dimension X will take off for interstellar space in Lisa's spaceship. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I did study.
Yeah, we know.
be an astronaut when I was in school.
Yeah, we know.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's start things off with the Abbott and Costello Show comedy series starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. They began their 30-year partnership way back in 1929. 30 years. You know, we're going on like 11 years.
I was going to say, we're catching up.
11 years, you and I think. Abbott
I think
was the...
You don't know the exact date
so,
that we met?
No.
You haven't been counting
I have
the
no
dates?
Idea. I have no clue.
I don't either.
Abbott was the straight man, Costello the bumbling, wisecracking man-child, and they were in vaudeville and burlesque. They appeared on Kate Smith's radio show in 1938, and they, of course, skyrocketed to fame. Their most famous routine, Who's On First? The Abbott and Costello Who's On First. And their radio show began in 1940. They were in a bunch of Universal Pictures from 1942 until 1947. The radio show lasted until 1949. And then they were on television from 1952 until 1957. One of the best movies that they ever starred in, I believe, was the Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. That was just fantastic. Glenn Strange played Frankenstein. Bela Lugosi played Count Dracula in that. It was so great. They play it every once in a while. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure most people out there have seen it, but it is so good.
Do you know when the last time was that I saw that movie?
Yeah, at Woodside Ranch.
That's right. I was with you.
That's right. We saw it at Woodside Ranch.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, it's time for Abbott and Costello, November 18th, 1943. On this episode, Lucille Ball is their special guest, along with Mel Blanc, and he plays Bugs Bunny on this good, funny show. Let's tune this in part one of the Abbott and Costello Show.
The Abbott and Costello Program. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes, Billy Gray as Little Matilda, Mel Blanc as the famous Leon Schlesinger cartoon character Bugs Bunny, tonight's guest, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star of The Best Foot Forward, Miss Lucille Ball, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
There you are, Costello. Late as usual. Why, what kept you this time?
Oh, I was waiting for our new letter carrier, Abbott.
Yes?
Yeah, and it turned out to be a dame. Boy, did I have trouble with her.
And what kind of trouble?
She tried to kiss me. Yeah, she kept right on kissing me on the eyes, on the nose, on the chin.
Wait a minute. Why didn't she kiss you on the lips?
Well, she's new at the post office, and she can't find the right zone.
The right zone. There you go again, Costello. I can read your mind like a book. All I can see is women, women, and women.
Where did you turn the page for? You'll find some girls.
There you go. Girls, girls, girls. Every night you're out late with girls. Last night you were out with two.
Yeah, but I only caught one.
No.
Boy,
no.
Was she beautiful. I met her down at the Lone Palm, King Johnny's joint.
Oh,
was she a gorgeous aircraft worker?
She was?
What a fuselage.
A fuselage.
That little aircraft worker did something to me, brother.
No kidding.
I took her in my arms. I felt the pounding in my chest.
You mean your heart was beating?
No, she forgot to turn off her riveting machine.
Now, see here, Costello, you'll have to stop this. Either you stop going around with all these girls and talking about them all of the time, or we're through.
I didn't know you felt that way, Abbott.
Yes.
All right, I promise. I won't look at another girl if I live to be 1,000 years old.
Hello, my fat little sugar man.
How time flies! Gee, Connie, you look cute tonight.
Do you really think so, honey?
Yeah. Now I know what they mean by the solid South.
All right, Costello, look.
Don't get it, eh?
Now, all right, look. If you're so anxious to go out with girls, why don't you pick out some nice girl like Connie Haynes here?
Connie won't go out with me.
Yes, I will, Mr. Costello. I had a fight with my family tonight, and I want to disgrace them.
See, what did I tell you, Abbott? There's no use.
I'm surprised at you. Did George Washington give up at Valley Forge?
He had a tough time.
Never mind. Did Paul Revere give up?
No, but Paul Revere had a horse he could depend on.
Well, you've got me.
I'd rather have the horse.
Oh.
Well, Miss Costello, I'll go out with you on one condition. If you all get me a pair of nylon stockings.
A pair of nylon stockings? That's a deal.
Now, don't be silly, Costello. You can get nylon.
Who can't? I can get one pair, two pair. I can get a dozen pair of nylons. That OPA hears everything.
Goodbye, my fat little sugar man. I'll see you at 8 o'clock tonight with a nylon.
Gee, Abbott, I guess I talk too fast. Where am I going to get a pair of nylons? I want to go out with Connie Haynes.
Well, why don't you be smart? Be nice to Mrs. Niles.
That's right, Costello. My wife has a pair of nylon stockings.
Now, wait a minute, Niles. You mean a dame with those ugly legs spends money for stockings?
Well, now, what do you expect her to wear?
Hip boots.
Hip boots.
I heard that remark, Costello.
Well, if it isn't Mrs. Niles in the flesh. And I use the word loosely.
Oh, you funny, funny man. And I use the word physically. Why, you know, there's nothing wrong with my legs. Why, I was once a ballet dancer. I used to kick my leg way up in the air.
Yeah, and on the way down, you'd catch it.
Now. Now, look, why do you fight with Mrs. Niles? Her legs are very attractive.
Are you kidding? Ah. She's so bow-legged, every time she runs, she looks like an egg beater. Am I insulting you?
My legs are perfectly straight, Costello. Look at them. They're just like arrows.
Feathers and all.
Feathers? Of all the nerve. I'm not an old hen.
Oh, no. Get back in your coop. Come on, get back in your coop.
You stop that.
Chit-chit-chit-chit.
Now, stop that, I said. Quack, quack, quack. Kenneth, will you please say something? Kenneth Niles, you come with me.
Niles?
Door slams.
Never mind that.
No, excuse me.
Come here, Costello.
Well, it was written here.
Never mind what's written there.
Excuse me.
Well, you've driven Mrs. Niles out of the studio again.
Oh, pilot to navigator. Pilot to navigator. Sighted dame. Sank same.
I think that's very funny. But I'm only 3.5 years old.
It's little Matilda. Matilda, what are you doing out of school?
My teacher sent me home because I kissed a little boy.
You kissed a boy?
Well, it wasn't exactly a kiss. We were eating the same licorice stick and I chewed past my head.
Now look, Matilda, will you please go home?
I can't. I'll get lost.
Oh, no, you won't. The train stops at every station.
Why does it stop at every station, Uncle Louie?
Because it's a milk train.
Do they have to milk it at every station?
How do you like a little kid, 3.5 years old, wants to know if you have to milk a train?
Milk a train, milk a train.
It's impossible. You can't milk a train.
That's silly.
How are they going to get a big train to sit on a little stool?
Now, look, Matilda, please. Don't worry, Uncle Louie. He's trying to get a pair of nylon stockings.
You can get a pair of nylon stockings from my friend Betty Grable.
How do you know she has nylons?
Because that's where I saw her put her money.
The Bank of America never had branches like that.
Wait a minute, Matilda. Maybe you can help Uncle Louie. Do you really know Betty Grable?
Yeah. Here's a picture of us on a bicycle. That's me on the handlebars.
Mm-hmm. But why have you got such a surprised look on your face?
Cold handlebars.
Cold. Well, Costello, I guess we came to the right place. Look at that sign. Square Deal, Bigger Bottoms, the Happy. Oh, so happy store. Costello, what was that?
That was Beaglebottom making a cheerful refund.
Oh, boy. I wonder where the hosiery department is. Let's ask this fella over here. Pardon me, mister. Are you the flower walker?
What do you think I am with this carnation on a flower pot? After all, I'm not a jerk, you know.
Well, you're not trying.
Costello, don't antagonize the man. He might be able to help you, you know.
Oh, I think you got something there, Abbott. Mister, please, mister. I wish you could do something for me. I gotta get a pair of nylons.
We haven't any nylons, and stop licking my hand.
It's no use, Abbott.
All right. Forget about the nylons and the date with Connie Haynes.
Just a moment, gentlemen. I can give you a tip on a real bargain. Due to a slight oversight in our tailoring department, we have 4,000 pairs of three-legged pants.
Three-legged pants? That's great. I'll tell all my three-legged friends.
But don't tell them all. Remember, only one pair to a customer.
Come on, Abbott, let's get out of here. On the way from this guy.
All right, don't get excited. Wait a minute. We'll try the sales girl here. Oh, miss, can you tell us where we might get a pair of nylons?
Sorry, I can't help you. You see, I'm in long underwear.
Itchy, isn't it?
Stop insulting people. Now, there's only one way to get those nylons, Lou. Listen to me. We'll have to see Mr. Beetlebottom. Personally, we've got to do this. Now, come on. Here's the elevator. Up, 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 up.
That's enough, Abbott.
Up, up,
enough,
up,
Abbott.
Up, up, up.
Cut it out. Have you tried baking soda?
Look, never mind that.
All right, folks. Step lively. Get a move on. Plenty of room on the second layer.
Are you going up?
Yeah. What's up, Doc? What's cooking, Fatso?
Costello, look. It's Bugs Bunny.
All right, let's take a quick break here on the Abbott and Costello Show. Mel Blanc there as Bugs Bunny. And in just a few minutes, Lucille Ball will make her way onto this show from 1943. You hear the quality of that show. That's because we license these radio shows from the rights holders. In fact, this particular show, all of the Abbott and Costello shows we have, are licensed from the Abbott and Costello estate, both Bud Abbott's estate and Lou Costello's estate. And we get the master recordings because we pay royalties to broadcast and to sell the shows. And that's why we started the Classic Radio Club, because our listeners, maybe you out there in Radio Land, maybe you would like to get the greatest classic radio shows of all time, digitally remastered, superior sound quality, no edits. All the original commercials are in there. They're complete and unedited. And they're really the best shows of all time. Suspense, Jack Benny, Gunsmoke, The Shadow, The Lone Ranger, you name it. We have it in the Classic Radio Club. Now, you can join the Classic Radio Club for only $1 the first month, and you can cancel at any time, and you will get 5 CDs sent to your home with 10 classic radio shows plus liner notes. Or, right, Lisa, you can choose the digital option and not have to pay any shipping and handling, just have them sent right to your email. Now, you, I know, like the CDs.
I do. Either way, you could share them with family and friends, whether it's an email or whether it's on CD. It's nice to collect them. I think it's a nice way if you are a lover of classic radio. That way you sort of can, you know, move them from generation to generation, enjoy them at any time, anywhere. I'm just a little old-fashioned that way.
You like the CDs. Well, you know what? They're fun to listen to in the car when you're driving, you know, if you're taking a road trip. And how it works is you get, I'm choosing the 10 shows, so you're going to get a surprise box every single month sent to your home with the CDs, or you get the email sent to your home. And you'll get 10 shows on 5 CDs, plus all these liner notes I write not only about the particular episode, but about the series itself. And it is only $1 the first month, so you can try it very inexpensively to just see if you like it. And if you do not like it for any reason, you could cancel at any time. Otherwise, you will get 10 shows sent to you every single month, either on CD or via digital download. All of the information, the price, everything is at our website. That website is classicradioclub.com. So you just log on to classicradioclub.com, and it's all there, all spelled out. Right, Lisa?
Spelled out.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. It is 11:35 here on the WGN Radio Theater. Every Saturday and Sunday, we're here beginning at 11 p.m. playing all your favorite classic radio shows. Jack Benny, The Shadow, Boston Blackie, shows like Gunsmoke, Dimension X, Abbott and Costello, which we're listening to tonight. And we have a great sponsor here in Woodmans. We have a great sponsor, of course, in Cass Pride. We have lots of great sponsors. But one of the things we're doing with Woodmans is when you go to a Woodmans grocery store, and my sister has started going now since we've been broadcasting about Woodmans. My sister is going. She's like, it's unbelievable. It's like she can't even believe how amazing these Woodmans stores are. They're incredible. And you can just take your receipt when you shop at Woodmans. Take your receipt. Take a photo of it with your smartphone. Email it to us at Woodmans, WGN, at gmail.com. That's Woodmans, wgn@gmail.com, and give us some time to get right back to you. Within 24 hours, we will email you 12 classic radio shows, and those 12 shows change every month. So if you shop at Woodman's, make sure you send us your receipt, and we will be happy to send you, via digital download, 12 great classic radio shows. It's a nice, it's a thank you for shopping at Woodman's.
And it's a nice way to introduce you to the store if you didn't know about it before. And if you did know about it, and you might not keep shopping there. And if you didn't, we love that you try it out.
Yeah, try it out. You love it. Lisa and I went there. We loved it. And I've been shopping at Woodman's now ever since they become a sponsor. For some reason, I was just always going to Jewel. You know, it was close, but you know what? The pricing is better at Woodman's.
And it's like an experience walking around
there.
Bigger
selection.
It truly is.
So, yeah, it's worth an extra mile that I drive. It's worth it because you save a lot of money, and it's much better selection. So check out Woodman's. We love them, and they love our show, and they love classic radio, and I hope you do too. But right now, it's time for the conclusion of Abbott and Costello. You're going to hear Lucille Ball on this broadcast.
Hey, Bugs, what are you doing running an elevator?
Well, I'm replacing a woman that's essential, Doc.
Come on, stop wasting time. Get us up there.
Okay, Doc, going up. Go up too fast for you, Fatso?
No, I always wear my pants at half mast.
Bugs, will you please let us out?
Okay, Doc. 8th floor, chewing gum, chocolate bar, sweet cream, butter, T-bone steaks, and other postcards.
Yeah, but I'm going to murder this rabbit.
Oh, no, don't pay any attention to him. Now, we've got to see Mr. Bigglebottom about those nylon stockings. There's a secretary. Pardon me, miss. Can we see Mr. Bigglebottom?
Okay, did you have an apartment?
An apartment? No.
Then where did you want to see him, a bird?
I want to see him, a bird, some nylon stickers.
Oh, Nerlon, they're having a big sale and just a murmur down that second Earl.
Oh, thanks. Come on, Herbert. What kind of talk is that?
Well, stop talking like that. Hurry up. We'll miss the sale.
Here you are, people. Here you are. Nylon stockings. Nylon stockings.
Hey, you. You over there. I'll take a pair.
For selling. I'm buying.
I must be from Nancy's.
Hey, Costello, stop fooling around. Look up at that sign there. One pair of nylons goes on sale in less than a minute.
Hey, but there's 500 women ahead of me.
Oh, what do you care? Go on, squeeze through.
Oh, just a minute, young man. You can't squeeze in here.
Okay, babe, let's go outside.
Hey, you, watch how you're talking to my mother. She's a pistol-packing mama.
What are you, one of the blanks?
What? Quiet, Costello.
Is everybody quiet? Quiet, please. Quiet. We are about to put on sale one pair of nylons. Remember, only one pair. The first one to get to the counter will receive the nylons and free medical attention. All right, get ready now.
All right, Fatso, you gotta win this race, Doc.
Hey, Bugs, what are you doing on my back?
I'm your jockey, Doc.
How can I run fast with you on my back?
Don't worry, I got a whip. Hey, Fatso, your stirrups are loose.
Take your feet out of my garter belt.
They're off, and they're running at Bigglebottom's. It was a bumpy start, and Costello broke fast. Rounding the hard way, he's pulling away. At the half, it's Costello cutting through the girdle department. Hey, he's into the back stretch. It's Costello by 4, by 6, and now a final drive down to home. It's Costello all the way. There's nothing between him and the nylons. He can't lose. He's across the finish line. And ladies and gentlemen, here is the winner, Miss Lucille Ball.
Hey, what's this gag about Lucille Ball? Come on, you. Give me those stockings.
Hey, Costello, take your hands off that girl. It is Lucille Ball.
Yes, and you won't get the stockings by wrestling with me.
Who wants stockings? Miss Ball, I'd like to apologize for this unseemly conduct. I'm Bud Abbott.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Abbott? You're the organ grinder, aren't you?
Yes. No. What makes you think I'm an organ grinder?
Well, I thought I recognized that monkey with you.
Costello.
Now, wait a minute, kid.
Costello.
Who's the monkey? I mean, after all, I'll unfinished speech.
Costello. Costello. Costello, come here. Come here. Shh. Quiet. Now, you've got to play up to Miss Ball if you want to get those nylons. Remember, you can catch more flies with sugar than you can with vinegar.
Who wants flies? I ain't got enough points.
Wait a minute. Look, Miss Ball, it's very important for Costello to get those nylon stockings.
My cue, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, and you don't need them, Lucille.
Who don't need them?
Name me two good reasons.
What are these two things I'm standing on, chopped liver?
Abbott, you're
Costello,
on.
Just a minute, look. Look, you better let me take care of this. You know, Lou, after all, we understand things. Women are putty in my hand.
Yeah, but who wants a handful of putty?
Ah! Shut up. I'll have you know that I've got the savoir faire.
You ain't even got coffee.
Shut up.
Hey, look, Lucille, why won't you give me those nylons?
Give you the nylons? You've got a lot of nerve. You're nothing but a cheap panhandler. You're not even a man.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, now there's a great ad lib.
Look at the sheet, that's all. Read what's on there.
Well, I think I'll take these nylons home. So long, slug. See you in the slot machine.
Well, you fix things fine, Costello. What are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to dash right out to Lucille Ball's house. Get those stockings and dash right back.
Yes, but what if she's putting them on?
Pilot to navigator, cancel that last dash.
Connie Haynes with a hit tune from Oklahoma, the Surrey with the fringe on top.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with a fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-stepping strutters. Nosy folks can peek through their shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. Eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't the final rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top. Wind will whistle as I ride along, the cows will moo in the clover, the river will ripple out a whispered song and whisper it over and over. Don't you wish we could go on forever? Don't you wish we could go on forever? Don't you wish you could go on forever and we'd never stop? Then we'd never have to hurry and we'd never have to worry in the shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top.
Well, Costello, here we are at Lucille Ball's house. Now, remember, you've got to make an impression on her to get those nylon stockings. Comb your hair.
It is combed, Abbott. Look, ain't it plastered down nice?
What did you use to plaster it down?
Plaster. Plaster.
How come your hair's so yellow?
Mustard plaster. Boy, watch me go to work on that Lucille Ball. I'll turn on a charm.
You'd better let me handle it, Costello. She's more of my type. I go for those trim ankles.
You couldn't afford the upkeep on an ankle like that?
Why not?
That's a very classy joint.
Oh, shut up here. I'll ring the bell.
Never mind, don't ring the bell. Can't you read the sign? Maid sleeping. I'll knock.
Oh, it's about time you guys got here. You'll find the ladder and saw in the basement.
Ladder and saw?
Yeah, aren't you fellows from the tree surgeons? I was expecting somebody here to trim my tree trunks.
We're only interested in your limbs.
Look, Miss Ball, I'm afraid you have us confused with somebody else. You met us in the department store, remember? I'm Abbott.
And I'm Costello. You must have a poor memory for faces.
Yeah, especially for poor faces. Listen, what do you guys want here? It's too late for Halloween. It's too early for Groundhog Day.
Now, wait a minute. What is that? Do I look like a groundhog? No coaching, please.
Quiet, quiet, Costello. Get away from here. I'll take care of this. Miss Ball, we're just trying to be neighborly. You know how the laundry situation is, and we're here to help you with your washing. For instance, we wash stockings and...
Yeah, stockings.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting. Is your laundry service fast?
Fast. We bring it back before it's clean.
You see, Miss Ball, we're especially expert in the care of nylon stockings.
Yeah, nylons.
Nylons.
Wait a minute. Are you fellas trying to talk me into something?
No, we're trying to talk you out of something.
Well, I'm not interested. You'll have to leave now.
Hey, Abbott, I think we're sunk. What am I going
to
do?
Turn on the charm. Go ahead. Make love to her.
Okay. Oh, Lucille, please don't send me away. I've always admired you. Come, sit with me on this love sheet, baby. Please, baby, and put your feet, or your face, your foot,
now,
in my hands.
Now.
Not sudden in my hands.
Yeah, now turn it on, Costello. Turn it on. Go ahead.
Lucille, I've lived for this moment. We were meant for each other. I was born to kneel at your feet.
Get this GI haircut with a civilian approach.
Don't spur me, Lucille. Did everybody go out? Don't spur me, Lucille. I love you. I love you, Lucille. I love you. I adore you. When I look at your face, it sets my brain on fire.
I thought I smelled punk burning.
Hey, Abbott, what should I say?
Recite poetry to her.
Recite poetry?
Yeah.
Okay. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. If I don't get you, Tommy Manville must.
Just a second. Who do you think you are, Santa Claus?
No, why?
Then stay away from my stocking. What are you trying to do, fat boy?
Fat boy? Who's fat? Look at my shape, Lucille. Of course I go in here, then I go out there, and I go in here a little... Then I go out there a little more than I go in here a little. And that's funny, I don't come back in again.
Oh, stop being silly, Costello. Everybody knows you're fat.
Sure, I was talking to your tailor at Universal. He says he measured you for 2 days before he even met you.
Costello. He's right,
funny,
Costello.
Remark. Hey, kid.
Look, Lou, why don't you stop all this nonsense? The best thing to do is put your cards on the table. Come on.
Okay, Abbott. It's this way, Lucille. I promised a pair of nylon stockings to a girl, and if you give me your nylons, I'll let you work in my next picture.
Threatening me will get you nowhere.
Oh, we could do a terrific love scene. Come here, Lucille. I'll show you the kiss. I'm getting hiccups. The kiss that made me famous. Ready?
Ready.
Contact.
Wow, where did you learn to kiss like that?
Siphoning gas out of cars. Well, what do you say, Lucille? How about another kiss?
No, thanks. I'd rather give you the stocking. You fellas turn your backs and I'll take them off.
Come on, Costello, turn around.
Yeah, and no rubbernecking.
Don't worry. I won't rubber, Ball. I thought it was funny.
You're just the type that would rubber, heel.
Well, I hope you're happy, Costello. You finally got those nylons. Now let's go.
Come in.
Hello, Lucille, darling. I just came over to... Why, my fat little sugar man, what are you all doing here two-timing on me? You all are kids, sir. I never want to see you again. What do you say to that?
Well, shut my mouth. Abbott, she did.
It serves you right.
Okay, so what are we going to do about it? I mean, after all... Look, Connie... Why do you treat me this way? Look, I gotta get you the... I got you the nylon stockings.
Why, sure enough, honey. Bless your fat little heart. But why did you all... why didn't you have them wrapped as a gift?
Wrapped as a gift? I thought you were gonna wear them.
Shucks, no. I'm giving them to Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball? Wait a minute. Then who have I got a date with tonight?
Not with me, sugar.
Not with me, shorty.
That's all. Nobody wants me. The world's against me.
Don't talk like that, Lou. I'm your pal. My arms are around you. How do you feel?
I still feel lonesome.
Then rest your head on my shoulder, Lou.
Okay, Abbott.
Now, how do you feel?
Much better. Let's dance.
Get out of here! Abbott and Costello will be back in just a moment.
Today and every day, our sailors are leaving shore posts to help take our ships into action. As rapidly as they go, their stations are filled by waves. Every girl who wants to serve her country will find life in the waves active and interesting. And because the service pays all her living expenses, she will, in most cases, earn as much or more money as on her present job. Apply to your nearest Navy recruiting station or write to Waves, Washington 25, D.C., for the free booklet, The Story of You in Navy Blue, Describing Life in the Waves. And now, here's Abbott and Costello with the final word.
Thanks, Ken. Well, folks, next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and Jane Wyman will be here to help us celebrate.
And be sure to tune in, everybody. We won't have a turkey, but that Jane Wyman. What a chicken!
Woo!
Good night, folks!
Good night!
Good night, everybody at the Lone Palm!
Woo-hoo!
Next week for another great Abbott and Costello show. This is Ken Niles wishing you all a very pleasant good night from Hollywood.
This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Okay, no NBC chimes on the end of that episode of the Abbott and Costello Show. November 18th, 1943. Special guests Lucille Ball and Mel Blanc as Bugs Bunny. Yeah, it's what's up, Doc, right?
I'm just thinking what great talent that is and what a great combination of talents.
Oh, man, Bud Abbott, Lou Costello, they were great. They didn't, they had this great routine, the Who's On First. They had all kinds of great routines, but they didn't do that routine all that often on radio, but when you sign up to the Classic Radio Club the first month, you get the Who's On First. It's part of the Abbott and Costello show that is in those 10 programs. So check it out at classicradioclub.com. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Our main sponsor here on the WGN Radio Theater is Cat's Pride Cat Litter, and they give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride Cat Litter every month. Dan Jaffe comes in here, the CEO of the company, and he selects one lucky winner, and that could be you. So if you want a chance to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, you should send a picture of your cat. Email it to us here at
catspridephoto@gmail.com. If you have a cat, it's a perfect addition. Because cat litter is expensive. If you don't have a cat, you should hurry up and get one.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
I don't have a cat.
I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I have a cat staying at my house this week.
Do you?
Because my daughter is out of town and I'm babysitting her cat. And
yeah, I have a son, so that's why I don't have a cat.
Oh, okay. That's the same thing.
It's like, you know, I have a son that lives
well,
with me.
I have kids and cats, but I'm not, you know, the honest truth is I love my dog, but I'm not a cat lover.
You're not a big cat lover?
I'm not. I'm so sorry. I wish I could say that I was.
Yeah, but you're madly in love with your dog.
I know.
The love is going to towards a
there's
dog.
There's just nothing,
there's nothing left.
Yeah.
But I mean, people love their cats, and you know
I
what?
Know.
If you own a cat, you have to buy a lot of cat litter.
Right.
So win a year's supply of it. It's super simple. Just send a picture of your cat into us here. Just email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. You should do it every month because Dan comes in here each month, selects a lucky winner, and it could be you.
And it's not just any cat litter. It's Cat's Pride in the green jug. It's
the best
of the best.
Absolutely. So do that. Don't wait because Dan will be in here at the end. He comes in at the end of the month, and so he'll be in here for March.
And he selects it at random.
Yeah.
He could sound like he chooses one. Like,
random.
I like the color of that cat. It doesn't work like that. It's all random. It's all on the level, guys.
Yeah, send it in along with your name and your cat's name, your city, state, and all that good info. Because if you win, we want to be able to send you the Cat's Pride kitty litter.
And we don't actually send the litter.
Yeah,
we send
coupons.
Certificates for the litter. That would be a hefty box.
Yes, it would. All right. In our next hour, we're going to tune into Dimension X. We will go way out into space for this episode from 1951. It's called Pebble in the Sky. Very good sci-fi adventure on Dimension X. So stick around. Another hour of the WGN Radio Theater is coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. It is 7 minutes after midnight here, and we have a Dimension X classic radio show coming your way, a good sci-fi adventure from 1951. But before we do that, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Who's the celeb?
The game is real. The celebrity is Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci,
yeah. And the prize is going to be a desktop indoor weather station.
How am I funny? I'm funny how? How am I funny?
That's right.
Yeah. Like I'm a clown?
That's how I'm funny or something like that.
I love Joe Pesci.
Yeah, he's really good.
Good fellas.
Yep. So we're going to be talking a little bit. Maybe I'll teach you a little something
about Joe Pesci. All right. And what did you say the prize was?
You were just talking the whole time.
What was the prize?
We are going to give away a desktop indoor weather station.
Yeah.
Brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling.
What caller would you like?
Caller number 4.
All right. Call us now. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Come on, baby.
We're going to get ridiculous with Roger. Roger, Roger, hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good to hear
from
you. We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with Joe Pesci. You ready to go?
Surely.
All right. While shooting a scene in Raging Bull, Joe Pesci's rib was broken by Robert De Niro. Is that real or ridiculous?
Sounds real.
Something got broken. I'm trying to
think. Something got broken.
No, I wonder if she's being sneaky here, though, Roger. I think something did get broken.
She's always sneaky.
He's very sneaky.
Roger, whose side are you on here?
Roger's on my side.
My side, Roger.
No. All right, I'm going to agree with Roger.
That's a good idea. I was just being up front. It's real. It was an accident, but Robert De Niro hit him and broke his rib.
Yeah.
Nothing to it.
All right.
All right, number 2. Joe Pesci gave one of the shortest acceptance speeches in Oscar history.
Hmm.
Real or ridiculous?
Hmm.
Hey. Ridiculous.
I'm going to disagree with Roger. I'm sorry, buddy. But I'm going to say I'm going to say that's ridiculous.
He said ridiculous.
Oh wait, so you wait,
Roger? Wait. He's not listening to you.
Wait, I think.
Okay, so let's go back.
Okay,
here it is. Joe Pesci gave one of the shortest acceptance speeches in Oscar history.
And Roger said.
Roger says.
Ridiculous.
I agree. Ridiculous.
It's real.
Oh.
It is absolutely real. It was 5 words, and it was for...
I want to thank Carl Amari.
Close. I want to thank Carl. That's 5, but Wana isn't a word.
Wana.
So.
Well, it is in my
exactly.
dictionary.
So it was when he won Best Supporting Actor for his role of Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5 words were, "It's my privilege. Thank you."
Wow.
That's it.
That's all he said, Roger.
That's all he said, Roger. Mm. Okay.
Roger, if you win an Academy Award someday, will you say... No, I'm talking...
Roger!
The shorter the speech, the better the...
That's true. Very true.
Roger Badish. We're talking to Roger,
Roger, our listener
player.
Who called in. Oh. All right, Roger, you're a big winner. Thanks.
Wait, Carl. I liked it, too. There's one more to go.
Oh, we got one more?
Yes.
Gosh.
Carl, trying to hang up on Roger?
I'm a little out of it tonight.
Yes, you are. Tonight. Just
made
tonight.
Quite a few mistakes
tonight,
Roger.
Number 3. In 1968, he released an album titled Little Joe Sure Can Sing. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
I agree with Roger. It's ridiculous.
It is real, you
what?
Guys. It's absolutely
oh
real.
God.
Little Joe Sure Can Sing. Build it. But you guys... worked really hard. So to that end, you're going
right.
to be a winner.
It's all about giving it your all.
And it was teamwork for sure. You guys both got them wrong together. So for that, Roger, you've won the desktop indoor weather station. Not you, Roger Badish. You, Roger, brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They're the 60-Minute Man. You give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. So thanks a lot for playing. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Roger. All right, buddy. All right, he's a big winner, and we have a text in line, 312 981-7200. I love, I don't think Roger's ever called before. I don't remember ever hearing, you know, recognizing his voice.
I don't either.
I like when our listeners call in. If you've never played the game with us, play next week with us. Come on.
I'm nice. Carl.
It's a lot of fun talk to new listeners. All right, well.
And it's fun to talk to the old ones, too.
This is true, of course. In the next few minutes, we're going to tune into Dimension X, but I do want to remind everyone, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. We're here till 1 o'clock in the morning, so if you have any questions or comments, please text us. We love getting your texts. But right now, it's time for Dimension X, a radio's premier series of adult science fiction. It premiered on NBC Radio in 1950, and it was a very popular series. In fact, later, it was revamped into X-1, so really, this series had two runs. It had a run beginning in 1950, and then a little later it was called X-1. It was always kind of the same actors and producers and writers and all that. Very cool adult series for sci-fi buffs, and all the best sci-fi writers would write for this show, like Ray Bradbury and Isaac Asimov, Frederick Brown, Robert Heinlein. So you got the best of the best, really. This is an episode called Pebble in the Sky, and it is from June 17th, 1951. It's from a story by Isaac Asimov. So here's part one now of Dimension X.
Adventures in time and space, transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, bring you Dimension X. The civilization of the galaxy spread across 200 million worlds. The black void of space swarmed with the ships of the Empire. But far off the trade routes, almost forgotten, lay the dying planet Earth. A backwater in galactic culture, a place of exile, a pebble in the sky.
I landed on Earth, on the one spot which I would have called civilized. A patch along the desolate heights of the Himalayas that surrounded the palace of the Imperial Governor of Earth.
Dr. Bell Averdyne of Sirius Sector. That's a familiar name.
Perhaps you've seen it in the Galactic Archaeological Journal, my Lord Ennis.
Me? No, no, I'm a soldier, not a scientist. It was a newspaper article. You gave an interview about your expedition to Earth. I suppose you'll want to start digging. Whatever can you find on this miserable heap of rubble?
I don't consider Earth a miserable heap, my Lord. It's absolutely unique in the galaxy.
Unique?
It's the only inhabited planet that is radioactive.
It's a pig pen.
Yes, I know. But this planet is inhabited. Biologists have proven that on a radioactive world, high forms of life cannot develop.
High forms? The rest of the galaxy hates the Earthmen, and they return it with interest.
I don't think you understand. I'm not intolerant of anyone. That even includes Earthmen. My theory is that life on Earth originated before it was radioactive.
Ah, there's a story like that in the Earth lore of the ancients.
I know, I've read it.
Oh? I wouldn't admit that here if I were you, Dr. Averdyne. It's forbidden for outsiders to read it. The Earthmen get pretty violent about their religion.
Do you mean the Imperial police power here is defective?
It is, in case of sacrilege. Well, now, what do you actually want to prove?
That man originated in prehistoric times on Earth before space travel and spread to the other planets.
What? Are you seriously suggesting that at one time Earth was the only inhabited planet and that man descended from Earthmen?
There's a chance it might be so.
You'll change your mind when you see them, Doctor. I'm not an anti-terrestrial, but as far as I can see, they're lazy and ignorant and generally inferior to us. I'm as liberal as the next man, but it's a fact. Once an Earthman, always an Earthman.
passage to the city of Chica on an Earth line. My fellow passengers seemed ordinary enough, but I was conscious of being alone among Earthmen. I beg your pardon. Could you tell me what's going on there?
Sure. You see that couple? They've been married 40 years. It's their anniversary.
Yes, sir. 40 years. Hey, Mother? It seems like yesterday. Just like yesterday.
Hey, when are you folks scheduled for the 60?
In a month. 16th of November.
Well, I hope you have a nice day for it. My father reached his 60 in a pouring rain. Kept complaining we were getting soaked. So I told him, what are you complaining about, Dad? I've got to come back.
This 60 they're talking about, are they referring to their 60th birthday?
Sure. That's when they put you away. Euthanasia. It's a custom. Can't have people living on. Eats up all the food. That's right, isn't it, Pop?
Yes, sir. Mother's coming with me when I reach the 60. She's not due for a couple of months, but she thinks we might as well go together.
Yeah, that's the spirit. There's many a man living past the 60. Sneaks, stealing the food from the next generation. A guy should go when it's his time.
Yes, but suppose
it's only fair to... Hey, where are you from?
I beg your pardon?
Asking all them questions.
Yes. Who are you? A spy? Where are you from?
I'm Bel Abaddon, from Baron, Sirius Sector.
Oh, an outsider, huh?
Come on, we'll go forward. Did you hear that, Mother? An outsider.
I'm burned with indignation. Earthmen treating me like an outcast. Earthmen. When we landed, I followed my intention of observing the human animal, subspecies Earth, in its native habitat. In this case, a large department store. Perhaps I resembled a floor walker, for a young Earth girl came up to me and asked a question.
Pardon me, but it's my father. He's about 5'4". He wears eye lenses. I think he had on a brown coat.
I'm afraid I don't remember seeing anyone.
But they followed me here. I've got to find him.
Are you in trouble, miss?
No. No, it's nothing, really. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Attention. Attention, please.
What's that?
All patrons of the store will kindly leave by the 5th Street exit. This store is being evacuated for radiation fever quarantine.
What's all this about?
They're after me. It is really radiation fever, I told you.
Who's after you?
How am I going to get out of here? They'll be checking registration cards at the door.
Haven't you got one?
Yes, but it has my name on it. I don't know what to do.
Come on.
But you don't even know me.
I don't know anybody here. But you're an interesting species. Person. This way.
Carry your own car. Come on. Step along.
Step along.
Next. Check. Wait a minute. Pull the check.
Yes, sir.
Stand right there.
Look here, officer.
Are you with her?
Yes, but you'd better find out who I am.
Later. Stand over there. Next. Come on.
What is it now?
The Imperium.
Are you afraid of them?
Of course.
Don't worry about the outsiders, Miss Schecht. I'll handle them.
Oh, no, don't try anything. Don't talk to them at all. Just do what they say. Don't even look at them.
We'll see. Here they are.
All right, now. You, God.
Yes, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Cloudy, Imperial Garrison. Who's got the fever?
If it please your honor.
I'm so close, idiot. You might be infected. I'll take over. You, Worthy. What's your name? Speak up, squaw.
Paula Schecht, sir.
Your registration papers?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, now. Pick them up. Go on.
Say, look here now.
What did you say, Earthy?
If you please, sir, this man has nothing to do with me. I never saw him before.
What did you say?
I don't like the way you treat women. And I'd advise you to improve your manners.
And where have you been brought up, Earthy? Here's lesson number one.
Why, you...
My arm! Let's go! Sergeant, neuronic whip!
Oh, no, no!
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're all right now.
What happened?
They gave you full power in the neuronic whip.
Where are we?
The military base. Oh, you should.
Is that... Oh.
Well, Dr. Avedon, we seem to have had an unpleasant contretemps in the city this afternoon.
Unpleasant? I should put it stronger, Colonel. As a free citizen of the Empire, I had every right to resent such illegal treatment.
I consider the whole incident unfortunate, Doctor. Don't you think it would be best to forget the whole matter?
I think not. I have an appointment in a week with the procurator.
Procurator, huh?
What do you intend doing with Miss Schecht?
What would you suggest, sir? I had...
Free her immediately, and offer her your apologies.
Of course. If the young lady will accept my sincere regrets, I will give the order for your release immediately.
But I don't understand. They just turned us loose.
Of course.
You must be very important. I never heard of the outsiders being that polite to an Earthman before.
I'm not an Earthman, Paula.
What?
I'm an archaeologist from the outside.
Oh. Well, then you stood up to the soldiers because you knew it was safe all along. And I thought... Oh, I should have known.
Paula, does my not being an Earthman make me any different from 5 minutes ago?
You might have told me, sir.
If you don't mind. Don't call me, sir. Don't be like the rest of them.
Like the rest of whom, sir? The rest of the disgusting animals that live on Earth?
Please.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I must leave.
Now, wait. Paula! Listen to me, Paula!
That's the first portion of Dimension X. More after these words. I think the Powerball's like half a $1 billion or something.
Did you buy a ticket?
No.
Why not?
When is the when do they read it? Do you know?
Read it?
I mean, when is it?
Read what?
How much more time do I have to buy a ticket?
I couldn't answer that.
Stop at Woodman's on our way home because
they sell lottery tickets there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get some.
Will you buy some
for me? So let's.
Because of course I don't have my wallet.
Yeah, I know. All right. So let's say I'll be a big spender and I'll spend $20. How's that?
For you or for me?
Well,
all together.
No, $20, and then you spend $20. That's $40.
Why can't you just do it for both
of
us?
Well, hang on, and then we'll split it if you win or I win. How's that sound?
Why don't you just buy your $20 and my $20?
Why?
Wait a second. If you win, we split it, and if I win, I get it.
You don't split it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Okay.
That's like heads I win, tails you lose.
That's
kind of like that, right?
Kind of, but a little bit different. This
is more fair. No, I mean, that's not the way to do it. We're host and co-host,
you know,
and
that's what happens.
Both co-hosts.
That's
however
what,
you want to look at.
That's right. That's what
happens. What are we? Am I the host and you're the co-host? Or are we both co-hosts?
We're co-hosts.
Okay.
Mr. Amari.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Who got this gig, Carl? Just remember how you got here to WGN.
Oh, what? you got the gig for us?
For us.
Oh, really?
Well, for you and for me.
Is that how it works?
What I was going to say was when people win a lot of money, there's always problems. So we're just better off.
There would not be
poor.
A lot of problems. There would not be a lot of problems if
really?
We won $500 million. No.
Somehow.
Because
I
would
feel
still
that
do
too.
This show. Do you know that?
Yeah, if your life would change.
If I won.
You'd be
a half,
coming in your Burberry clothes and you'd have your
so
chef.
So I'd still do the show.
You'd be a different person.
I would still do this radio
you'd,
show
but
because
you'd be,
I love
have a
this
different
show.
Attitude.
No, I wouldn't.
You would.
I wouldn't change.
You
wouldn't
would.
Change me. A mere half $1 billion wouldn't change me.
I think it would.
No, it would
okay,
not.
Okay, somebody texted it and said it's Wednesday night.
Okay, so I have plenty of time to buy.
Let's stop at Woodman's on the
All right,
way home.
Stop at Woodman's. Are you putting up $20 or what?
Do
put
I
up
have
20,
to?
Yeah.
I don't get paid a lot around
$20,
here.
I'll put up 20.
That's like my
and
whole night
if you
night
win,
work.
We split it. And if I win, we split it. How's that?
Okay, then I don't make any money tonight. Is it worth it?
You make more than $20.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. Mm. But honestly, I don't think it would change me that much. I would love I would just do this show. I love doing this show. I would.
Besides, I know you'd do this show, but I would change you in other ways.
I would probably buy a Learjet or something like that. I'd get a little crazy. I'd probably buy like a little, like you have, four or five jets.
Right.
Lisa has like four or five jets in her family.
No, I feel like I just want a Tesla. I just want a Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla would be
that
nice.
That big fancy one with the doors that fly up.
Yeah.
With the SUV.
I would like one of those,
That's what I would like. It's just so simple.
I would trade in my...
Actually, I'd rather just have a driver out. And not have to
I would trade in
all.
My 1978 Yugo.
Yeah, big shot over there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trade my Yugo in.
Okay.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Let's salute past and present leaders and role models by celebrating Black History Month 365 days a year. This message from Taylor Funeral Home, with two locations and a cemetery serving the audience for over 57 years. For all of your funeral, traditional, cremation, or burial needs, call Taylor Funeral Home at 773-488-7300 or 219-887-7339 for the cemetery. The Taylor family and staff are leaders and role models, especially for our youth.
You know, we had a very nice text from one of our listeners. They checked for us, and they said that Woodman's does sell lottery tickets, but they don't sell them after 10 p.m.
Excuse me. You got an apple in your throat? They don't sell them what, Carl? They don't sell them after 10. So thank you so much for thinking of us. You saved us a trip.
Okay.
But we are going to go
much
there tomorrow.
Much better. Got my voice back.
Did you say something?
Yeah, we'll go tomorrow and get some. But are you going to put up $20 or what?
I was hoping that that would be a kind gesture from
you.
No,
we each put in $20.
Why?
And then we'll split.
Why can't you just generous?
Let's listen to the conclusion of Pebble in the Sky on Dimension X.
I had access to the garrison files, and to satisfy idle curiosity, I indexed Poloshecht. Her father was a Dr. Mikhail Schecht, biologist, and against his name was a black star with a notation, condemned in absentia. Charge, evading the 60. That was why she was afraid. So I sent a note asking her to meet me in the North Park after dark.
Paula, over here.
Dr. Avedon?
Sit down.
Oh, I want you to understand. I wouldn't have come except...
I understand. I've seen your father's record.
You know about it.
I looked into it, Paula. There doesn't seem to be much that can be done about the 60.
Oh, it isn't that. It's not for my father. It's for the whole galaxy.
What is it?
Earth is going to revolt.
No. All of it?
Oh, don't laugh at
me. Paula, the galaxy has a volume of several million cubic light years. It contains 200 million inhabited planets. Earth has a population of only 20 million. And no resources. What can Earth do?
I don't know, Doctor, but my father does. He's told me that Earth knows a way by which it can wipe out all outside life and... Wait. Listen. Someone coming. Park Patrol. Quick, kiss me. Don't be stupid. Kiss me. They won't suspect anything.
Oh, yes, of course. Paula.
They've gone. It's all right. Now come with me. I'll take you to my father.
Dr. Avedon, this is a pleasure. I have read your articles in the journal. It is hard to get copies. Our neighbors don't care to trade with Earth. It's part of the nearly insoluble problem of anti-terrestrialism.
No one seems to want a solution. Earthmen and outsiders alike?
Oh, no, that is not true. There is a way of preserving our culture and living as equals in a larger society. But the zealots don't think so.
The zealots?
Yes, they rule Earth now. They are a small minority, but they have power. They have plans.
They planned the revolt, Paula told me?
Yes.
I see. Well, why didn't you report this to the Imperial Garrison?
The Society of Earth Ancients have guarded me too well. Besides, they had a hold on me. I am 62. You know the customs of Earth.
The 60 years.
They allowed me to live on. The price was silence about the weapon.
You agreed to this?
I wanted to live.
What is this weapon?
You are aware of Earth's peculiar environment, the radioactivity?
Yes.
Over the years, we Earthmen have built up certain immunities to radiation burns, for one.
But it's a minute difference. I measured it experimentally.
Oh, but, Doctor, human life is not the only form affected by radiation and mutation. There is microscopic life, bacteria, viruses. We have been searching out such a virus, one to which Earthmen have developed a high degree of immunity, but not outsiders.
You mean a particular disease?
Yes, common fever. It is a mild children's disease here, like chickenpox or German measles. But to outsiders, it is radiation fever. Symptoms develop in 2 hours. Lips are so badly affected that the victim cannot talk. And in 2 days, he dies.
They've isolated this virus?
Tons of it in crystalline form.
And they plan to let this loose in the galaxy?
By means of guided missiles. Then frightened refugees will carry the disease across space. And billions will die.
You're sure about this? You have proof?
I worked on the project.
We've got to get to the procurator. I can catch the evening plane. Who is it?
I don't know.
Open up.
There should have been an alarm.
We've got to get out. Is there a back
entrance?
Open
up in there.
No. Don't move. Hands in front of you.
What's the meaning of this? I demand...
Shut up.
I'm a galactic citizen. You've got no right to detain me without legal authority.
I am an Earthman, but I think you'll find I am all the authority needed at this moment, Dr. Avadan. I am Balkas, the High Minister of Earth.
The High Minister? What are you doing?
I always look after distinguished visitors personally.
Avadan does not know anything.
I doubt that, Dr. Schecht. We'll proceed now to the Hall of Correction.
You can't do this. When the procurator...
The procurator will hear nothing until it is too late. The guided missiles will be fired tonight at 12. Guard, if they make a false move...
Keep them covered, guard.
Right.
Hold on. Can you scream?
What are you...
There, coming down the street. Imperial Patrol.
Oh, it's no use.
Do what I say. Scream. Go ahead.
Ah! Ah! You there?
Hold it. They're outsiders. You're right. That's the Imperial Patrol.
All right, Earthy. What's going on here?
Good morning, Sergeant.
Sir? Earthy?
You don't understand. I'm Balkas, the Lord High Minister of Earth.
Listen, Earthy, I don't care who you are. What's going on?
Yes, sir. We've arrested these people.
What charge?
Blasphemy.
All right, get moving.
Thank you.
Sergeant.
What do you want, Earthy?
I'm a galactic citizen. I demand the right...
You? May we proceed, sir?
Listen, Sergeant. I have something more to say to you.
What?
This.
No Earthy's going to get away with this.
Get a squad car.
But, Sergeant, I'm the Lord Minister of Earth.
Tell him about it at the Imperial Barracks. Now move, all of you, before I give you a shot of the whip.
I tell you, I'm a citizen of the Empire.
Listen.
I can prove it. You'll get into a lot of trouble if you don't believe me.
I'll admit no Earthy would dare spit in my face.
It was the only way I could get to the garrison. I insist on seeing the officer of the day.
I sent for him. You better have a good story. Attention!
That easy. Which one of you claims he's a citizen of the Empire?
I am.
Well, it's the one from the store.
You, eh? The smart louse that broke my arm. Well, well, well.
I've got to see the colonel, Lieutenant.
Now, Dr. Avadan, I could hardly do that unless it's important.
It is important. It's life and death for the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Come here. Closer. Oh, it's too bad I've got to save you for the colonel.
What?
He'll see you at 5:30, his orders.
You knew all along.
Sure. Come on, Earthy lover.
You're in serious trouble, Dr. Avedon. The man you're accusing is the High Minister for Earth.
I know, but I have proof.
Well?
I can only speak to the Procurator. You've got to contact him.
There are channels, Dr. Avedon.
We haven't time for channels. I have the details of the plot from Dr. Schecht. You've got to let me speak to the Procurator.
I've already advised him of your arrest. He's flying in. You'd better be able to prove what you say. If you don't, we'll have to hand you back to the native authorities. And their courts are notoriously savage.
Well, Avedon, I've called you here with His Excellency, the High Minister for Earth.
My lord, this man is behind the whole plot.
Is he?
There's no time to lose. I've explained to you about the virus. They're shooting off the guided missiles at 12. You've got to take action.
Well, Your Excellency. My lord, if this man has any evidence...
You admitted it this afternoon.
You have no witness to that.
Ask Dr. Schecht. He worked on the virus.
I wouldn't say that Schecht lied, my lord, but he is a criminal wanted for evading the 60, and some men will invent any story to avoid death.
The deadline is midnight. You've got to bomb those temples where the launching sites are.
Perhaps I can explain. According to my information, Dr. Avedon seems to have succumbed to a certain Earth girl... The daughter of the unfortunate Dr. Schecht. Is this true, Avedon?
What has that got to do with it? There isn't any time. You've got to do...
Dr. Avedon, are you in love with that girl?
Yes, yes. Will you listen to me?
I don't think we need pursue this any further. Your Excellency, I shall order you released with an apology.
No.
Dr. Avedon, I can hardly believe a degenerate who fraternizes with Earth women.
You scum, you pot-bellied scum.
I warn you, Avedon, you're in trouble enough.
I'm in trouble. You fool, you stupid, blind, bigoted fool. You're destroying the galaxy. You're murdering them all. But before I die, I'll have the pleasure of smashing your fat, oily face in the...
Let me go. Guard the whip.
Belle, are you all right?
Paula. What time is it?
1:30. Past the deadline. It's all over. Lord Ennius released the High Minister with an apology.
Doesn't matter. The Empire can wipe Earth out. It won't save any lives. The virus must have been spread here, too. Earthmen are immune, but outsiders...
Belle, you're an outsider.
Yes.
Oh.
I am. We're paying, Paula. The rest of us. Paying for centuries of intolerance.
Oh, Belle.
Look out there. Through the bars. The night sky. Pinpoints of light. The Empire. Doomed.
Oh, Belle. Belle, don't.
I was just thinking. I came to Earth to prove a theory that man started here. That once in prehistoric times, Earth was the only populated world of the galaxy. It's funny. Now it will be that way again. Man living only on Earth. He'll forget the science, the machinery of the Empire. He'll forget the stars. There will be only Earth. Alone in the universe. A pebble in the sky.
The children of tomorrow will play with toys. But what will those toys be like? An ordinary clerk in an ordinary job finds a terrifying answer to that question next week as Dimension X brings you Child's Play.
Dimension X is transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented Pebble in the Sky, dramatized for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Aberdon and Susan Douglas as Pola. Your host was Norman Rose, music by Bert Berman. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is Dimension X with Pebble in the Sky from June 17th, 1951. Santos Ortega starring in that, and Isaac Asimov wrote that story. And then it was adapted from the story by Ernest Canoy, as heard on NBC. And you know, the host of that series was Norman Rose. And you know who he later played on television? A voice of somebody kind of famous on TV. You know who it was?
No, I don't.
Juan Valdez, the fictitious coffee grower in the, what was it, the Columbia Coffee TV commercials. I can't remember. I think it was for Columbia Coffee.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, Norman Rose. He was Juan Valdez.